Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. In this classic Advent text, the prophet asks for God's forgiveness for not expecting his presence on a daily basis. It is a reminder to all of us to be awake and vigilant for the coming of the Lord. Let us read. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Here ends the first scripture reading.
So we finished off stewardship season last week with a bang with Michael Wilson. What a great way to end that month, and what a great opportunity to be able to hear him preach. That was the first time I had actually heard him preach. And last month, throughout November, we set up a goal in January, which was to put into action our words on stewardship so that this year we will tithe in January, if you're not already doing so, in order to experience what we said, the fullness of God's blessings. Because if we're not, then we're not experiencing all that God is truly able to do in our lives, especially in that area of finances, which a lot of us tend to sometimes block God out of. And I haven't touched bases with you since Thanksgiving, because last Sunday I didn't preach. So how was your Thanksgiving? I hope it went well. We had our full family for the first time in a number of years at our house. So 22 of us, all of my brothers were there, all of the cousins, so all the kids, all 10 of them, and we had a great opportunity and to be together. Thanksgiving is a time, a holiday where you can do things you know you can't or you shouldn't, and then you pay for it during the weekend, and we took full advantage of that. But I also love Thanksgiving because it means that Advent is right around the corner. It's coming up. And sure enough, this Sunday we find ourselves in the first Sunday of Advent. For me, I look forward to Thanksgiving because I know then that next Monday and Tuesday, and this year it was also on Wednesday, I'm going to be able to catch up on my sleep for hours at a time. Now, some of you may call it hunting. I call it catching up on my sleep, and it was a great experience. So I went back out this year. I saw a beautiful buck. It was really close to me. It had one horn less than it was supposed to, so two on each side, and it was just grazing right in front of me, and I was convinced that the longer I looked at it, it would grow that third horn. And I was absolutely convinced that it was going to happen, so I was so excited. I was expecting and waiting and hoping for that horn to grow, and it never did. It never did. But I will tell you, the excitement that I felt looking at that buck, okay, my heart, I felt like, was going to explode. I have never felt that way, I think, in recent memory in my life, because there I was thinking, this might be the time. This might be the time. And so I was waiting and anticipating, and my knees were weak, and so I had to sit down in the chair again, and I sat down, and the buck was still there. And when I fell asleep and woke back up, it was gone. But why don't we feel that same excitement for Jesus, right? That same anticipation that maybe, just maybe, this is the time. This is the moment that it's going to happen. It's never happened before. But maybe this is the moment. That's what Advent is kind of about, that your heart should feel like it's going to burst. It's just going to explode. It should make you weak all over because you know Jesus is coming back. And he's going to come back. What a great season Advent is, right? Beautiful, cozy, spirit-filled. And the season reminds us of that expectancy. We need to have that expectancy for the coming of Christ. And it's hard for us as adults to maintain that. Christmas Eve, we, especially if we have kids, we're exhausted and we just can't wait to go to bed, where the kids just, they just can't fall asleep. And so we've lost that expectancy. We need to reclaim it. So hopefully today we'll be able to do that as we focus on imagining God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word dwelling with us, Christ coming back again. And hopefully that'll elicit a sense of expectancy and wakefulness, and we'll kick in that adrenaline as we're hoping that it will. So the scripture that we're going to look at today is from the Gospel of Mark. And again, it's a traditional Advent scripture, and it speaks to us about that sense of expectancy for when Christ will come again. But as we read it, I want you to notice that it doesn't focus on the end times, okay? It doesn't focus just on when Jesus does come back. It focuses on the now time. Well, what are we supposed to do now? If he really is coming back, and he is and we believe it, then what do we do now in order to make ourselves ready, in order to be prepared for his coming? So let's go ahead and read. We're in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, in verses 32 through 37. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. Starting at verse 32, Jesus again is speaking to his disciples. This is a whole series of parables in Mark that you'll find in chapter 13. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in colonial New England, a few hundred years ago, a total eclipse of the sun took place and completely set the people of that area in panic. They closed their shops down, the schools let out, and the legislature happened to be in session at that time, and they weren't sure what they were going to do. Some called for an adjournment, but then one wise legislator stood up and said, "Mr. Speaker, if it is not the end of the world and we adjourn, we shall appear to be fools. If it is the end of the world, I should choose to be found doing my duty. I move you, sir, that candles be brought. For me, that's a great image of what we are called to do this Advent season. We're called not to panic. We're called not to close shop. We're called not to release everything and just focus on one thing. But we're called to bring in candles and continue in our vigilance and service to Almighty God. So what is that service? What is our duty this Advent season? Mark in these verses, so just in these few verses from 38 through 37, four times he tells us to keep awake. Okay, four times. In a cozy church like this, it may be a little hard this morning, but that's what he tells us, right? Keep awake. And it's a scripture about the end time, but Mark is telling us what to do right now. Keep awake. And he puts the stress on our present responsibilities. And this parable serves to strengthen our discipleship here and now in the present. So what does Mark mean when he tells us that our duty is to stay awake? It's a little too passive for some of us who are used to making sure that we're action-oriented. And he gives us a parable to explain it. And he starts that parable by saying that nobody, absolutely nobody, knows when the end time is coming. The angels don't know. The Son doesn't know. Only the Father knows, and we do not know. And if anyone tells you that they know, then you know that you should not really trust their words very much. We do know that Christ is coming back. We just don't know when. So let's look at a few scriptures that talk about these first two verses in our reading this morning that tells us that Christ will come back, but we just don't know when. And so Advent is a season of us anticipating the return of Christ. Advent is a season when we are looking forward to when Jesus is coming back. And let's look at some scriptures that talk about that. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. Matthew 24 verse 42 says the following, and also verse 44, if you wanted to look at both of those. So Matthew 24, verse 42 says the following, "Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." Verse 44, "Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Almost identical to what Mark says. Tells us again to keep awake because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And it's going to be a surprise and totally unexpected when he does. Let's look at another gospel reading in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. So Luke 21, 34 through 36, and we read the following. Starting at verse 34, "Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Again, we find in the gospel Jesus telling us to stay awake. 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, likewise, in verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 2, he says the following, "For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." So that's from Scripture, right? That image that we have of the end times coming like the thief in the night. That Jesus coming back like a thief in the night. And then also in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we read, "Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. So this sense of expectancy and knowing that Jesus is coming back, at least here in Peter and in Thessalonians, is because the enemy's coming back and he's going to be like a lion and he's looking for people who aren't ready. He's looking for people who aren't quite expecting the coming of our Savior Jesus. And I'm guessing that many of us may fall in that boat because every single year this time of year comes around. And Scripture tells us this Advent message, this message of the coming of Christ, that there's no doubt that he's coming back, but we need to keep awake because nobody knows when it's going to happen. The first scripture that we read, the Isaiah scripture, again, another traditional Advent reading. We read that God's people in Isaiah are beseeching him, come quickly. Because the people of Israel in Isaiah, they are captives and they need Jesus, they need God to come quickly. They need the Messiah to come quickly because they want to be taken out of their current reality. And they ask for forgiveness of the times and the ways in which they turn their back against God. And again, that's a very common Advent theme. And we read over and over again how they tell God, you need to come back right away. But then one of the last lines that we read in Isaiah is they state that we recognize that we are the clay. We do not have control over what is happening in the world, and you are the potter. That's a great place to start in our understanding of Advent, is that we are the clay. We don't have control over what is happening, and God is the potter. That is why we need to stay awake. Then when we get to the New Testament in Mark, Jesus tells us this parable about a master who leaves and lets his servant be in charge of what's left behind. And it should sound vaguely familiar because Jesus was described as a rabbi, as a teacher. He was even described as a master. So he's telling this parable about himself. There's going to come a day when I leave and you're going to be in charge. And when you're in charge, you need to stay awake. We read in the same way in Matthew chapter 20 when the mother of the sons of Zebedee, who were two of the disciples of Jesus, asked Jesus, hey, when you do come back, will you make my sons the first? And Jesus' response is fascinating. We find him saying, whoever wishes to be great must be a servant. And whoever wishes to be first and must be a slave, just as Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Again, the sense of Advent, of being awake and knowing that we have been called to serve, not to be served, is repeated again in Jesus in the washing of his disciples' feet. So it obviously deals with Christ leaving the responsibility of the church, of his work, of his kingdom to his disciples. Stay awake, he tells them. Stay awake, and as you're staying awake, make sure you don't see yourself as the first in this world, but rather as a servant, as a disciple, as the one who's willing to bend low and wash people's feet. He tells them, your responsibility in running my kingdom is quite simple. Yes, stay awake. But even with this warning, what happens just one chapter later in Mark? Go ahead and turn to our scripture in Mark if you would. But go to one chapter afterwards. And keep in mind, the chapter right before 14, of course, is 13, the one that we read. And in 13, he beseeches his disciples in a parable to stay awake. What happens in chapter 14? I'll give you a hint. Look especially at verse 32 through 42. What is that the scene of? Chapter 14 in Mark, starting at verse 32 through 42. Where do we find Jesus? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Chapter 13, he tells his disciples, listen, this is what you need to do, okay? This is what you need to do in this time as I won't be around. You just need to stay awake. But it was in parable form, so he could have been telling it to anyone. So they may not have really understood it because it was just a story. He wasn't really speaking to them directly. He speaks to them directly in chapter 14. He tells them in verse 34, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. All right, so now, without the veil of the parable, Jesus is actually speaking to his disciples very directly. And three times, what does he have to do to them? Wake up. Wake up. Won't you stay awake with me? And they fall asleep. This is just the next chapter. And you see why this parable was geared to provide the disciples with a sense of urgency, a sense of expectancy that Jesus knew they would not be able to maintain, but they would have to. So this message of keeping awake in Mark is for each one of us as well. And we're not called to just sit back and do nothing, because then sleep can come upon us pretty easily. Especially when it's raining and you're outside in the cold in a lawn chair wrapped up in warm winter clothes, it's easy to fall asleep then, right? But we are called to beware, to be vigilant, keep our eyes open, pay attention. We're called to bring the candles and to carry on with our duties as disciples and slaves of Christ. But today in Mark, we have been warned. And this entire season of Advent serves as a warning for us about the coming of Christ. Keeping awake, actively awake, is not something that comes naturally. It's something that we have to work on. We can't count on those around us to stay awake and remind us of our responsibilities. We have to do that on our own. And this message of Mark, I think, is perfectly suited for every church in Advent, so for our church as well in Advent. Mark is telling us not to fall asleep. Don't rely on others to do that which you know ought to be done in the church. And for the early church, there was a stronger sense of Jesus' imminent return, but Mark still felt the need to remind them. Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, there's another call to wakefulness. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, the writer John tells the church in Sardis, wake up, strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. So God today, this first Sunday in Advent, calls us to a wakefulness that is active and takes initiative and bears upon our shoulders the responsibilities, doesn't allow them to fall on others. And maybe one of the greatest dangers of the church in the 21st century is that it can find itself sleepwalking. Think about that. What does it mean when a church sleepwalks? Well, when I was, well, even now sometimes, but I used to talk and walk in my sleep all the time. All the time I used to talk and walk. And I didn't believe it. My roommate in college, remember when there used to be tape recorders where you would press record and it had a cassette? Well, he would keep one of those by his bed, and because I never believed him when he would tell me the stories of what I would say and what I would do. So he would start recording them. He recorded one time when I took a chair, middle of the night, took a chair, put it up on my bed, sat on my chair on my bed and just stared at him. It creeped him out. He didn't room with me next year. But no, that's not true. That's not true. I have fallen down a flight of stairs in my sleep when I was in high school, and so that explains some things, right? But it's so easy to kind of go through what you're used to doing while you're sleeping and not even know what you're doing, even as you go through the motions. And sometimes churches can do that. Sometimes churches can find themselves sleepwalking, going through the motions. And God calls us to break out the candles, maybe even shed new light on old practices. To understand what it means to expect Christ, to finally live a life of discipleship and servanthood to Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. So this first Sunday, he calls us to wake up, become servants, get to work, because Jesus is coming and we shouldn't be able to wait. We should all be in the church with the engine running, with the programs hopping, because we would be found in our duty. May God bless us to stay awake this Advent season so that we may be found worthy of the Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that you would awaken us and remind us of our responsibilities. Don't allow this time of the week to become routine. Don't allow this time of the week to catch us without a surprise. Remind us every single day of what it means to be your disciple as we anticipate and look forward to, with our heart bursting, to your coming back and receiving us with open arms and whispering in our ear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, we can't wait for that, but we are. So help us to stay awake as we wait. And we pray this now in your holy name. Amen.